baby doesn't have a name yet, but the internet has ideas. Someone suggested the name Rocky.
Of course.
That's good. That's good. Great week of shows. Thank you to all of our co-hosts. Seth, thank you so much for everything you do.
Not a problem, my man.
Thank you to the greatest audience in radio. All of you out there, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend and meet us back here for more morning shows at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Florida, where young people plan to make a statement today. Correspondent Jim Crisula has our top story.
Hundreds of high school and college students across Florida plan to walk out of classes today over what they see as state government censorship and anti-LGBTQ policies. It's a defiance of the state's crackdown on lessons dealing with race and black history, as well as new laws affecting LGBTQ students.
The power always resides with the people, and it's going to be this generation who is going to right the wrongs that have been happening in our state.
Nikki Fried is chairwoman of the Florida Democratic Party.
This week, Governor DeSantis defended his policies toward what he feels are inappropriate subjects.
We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die.
We should hear from the Supreme Court on access to an abortion pill before the day is out. Justices have set a self-imposed midnight deadline to decide whether a federal judge in Texas had the legal right to impose restrictions on access to mifepristone nationwide. A House Republican in Tennessee who voted to expel three fellow lawmakers over a gun protest has resigned after he was found guilty of sexually harassing an intern. It came hours after Congressman Scotty Campbell was confronted by WTVF reporter Phil Williams.
You asked her about how many men she had slept with and then asked about how many women she had slept with?
No.
So you're saying she's just making all of this up?
I'm saying that we had a consensual adult conversation.
Texans are dealing with the remains of a powerful storm system that killed at least three people in Oklahoma. Brandon Brammer had to climb out of his car window when heavy rain flooded the streets of Austin.
It started off as a just normal side on the curb kind of water, and then basically you just got deeper and deeper, and it was just like a pool, basically.
A tornado spotted in Tyler, Texas. Attorneys general from 18 states asking the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration for a recall on Hyundais and Kias manufactured between 2011 and 2022 because they don't have anti-theft devices. California AG Rob Bonta.
When these cars are stolen, they have led to injuries, they've led to death, they've led to other crimes being committed using those vehicles.
He says almost all other new cars do come with anti-theft features. Not all celebrities have had their Twitter check marks erased.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Elon Musk's reportedly kicking in the $8 a month so William Shatner, Stephen King, and LeBron James can have them. Others, including Beyonce and Elmo, opted out. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Guys, fellas, men, are you Roman ready for the weekend? Right now, generic Viagra, a.k.a. Sildenafil, is just $4 per dose at Roman. Just complete a free online visit with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. If medication is appropriate, Roman sends what you need in discreet packaging with two-day shipping. Generic Viagra from $4 at Roman. Go to ro.co/bed. Do it today and get 20% off your entire first order. That's ro.co/bed.
The following is a message from the future, sent by Jamie from Progressive.
Back in 2023, you could get help from Progressive online, through our mobile app, or over the phone. But here, in the future, we can communicate with you through telepathy. Now, I don't think anyone in 2023 has mastered telepathy yet, but if you have, then you can totally read my thoughts right now. And yes, I did leave the oven on. Wow, you're good at this.
That was a message from the future. Get the help you need today with Progressive.
Do you smell smoke? I really should go.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 48, southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight, mixed precipitation possible at times, lows level off around 30. Mixed precipitation possible at times again tomorrow, highs level off around 42, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 21st, 2023, 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to speak with some of the kids from Lincoln High School's musical, The SpongeBob Musical. We got some of the cast members joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Got a great interview in store right now. On the phone joining us, State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing all right. How you been?
Well, I can't complain. The only thing I can complain about is that, you know, this time last week, I was out my yard doing yard work in shorts and a cutoff, and then 2 days later, I'm on my back deck in a winter coat and boots, firing up the grill. So
Wisconsin,
springtime in Wisconsin.
Yes, we are excited about having some nicer temps next week. That we're looking forward to. That might be able to get back in the yard for a lot of us. I got a couple of different places I wanted to start with you, sir. The first place I wanted to start, how's your vehicle doing? Because you've been up and down the state the last month. Since the last time we talked, I got to admit, did you have to get a new vehicle? Is it doing okay? Because you've been everywhere.
Yeah, no, vehicle's doing great. In fact, actually, it was had to buy one late last fall after the running around the state in the primary for lieutenant governor.
I can imagine.
My previous vehicle, but... No, it's been good. We've been very busy. The Joint Finance Committee, we've been going around the state to get public input on the state budget process. And between that and being down in Madison, taking votes on the floor and committee work, yeah, it's staying busy. This session, we're rolling up our sleeves and doing what we can to put forth and craft a state budget that puts the state on the right path.
Recently, you spent some time in beautiful Eau Claire. There was a budget listening session there. What were some of the headlines that came out of that for you?
Yeah, I think one of the big headlines for me within that specific event was that we had a lot of school districts from rural areas of the state who came out and expressed their hope that for some of our districts that per pupil spend lower than a lot of districts around the state, that we could give them an increase. And, you know, I think that's been a takeaway. And I've had conversations with Tom down in Adams Friendship, their school district administrator, who I'm sure is breathing a huge sigh of relief after their referendum went through earlier this month. But I do think there's a case to be made. And I do think that's going to be a conversation that we have over the course of the next several weeks as we take a look at where our dollars can best be spent. I do think for our districts that have been financially sound and, have been very prudent with their budgets, but are being hamstrung by some of these, the revenue caps, that we give them some increases so they can be on the same page as some of the districts that spend more per pupil. Because our state constitution lays it out pretty clear that, every child in the state of Wisconsin should have equal access to high quality education. And right now there's a disparity with the way the funding formula is set up, where districts like Wisconsin Rapids or Adams Friendship or even Spash, who, they do a great job, but their hands are tied behind their back. And so, that's kind of one of the areas that I'm going to be pushing and advocating for through the state budget process as it relates to K-12 education.
It seems like from the reporting, from the work that I've been able to research on this, it looks like you're obviously correct with what you're saying there, as well as a lot of our inner cities in the Milwaukee, the Madison area, the schools in there are being affected just as much as some of these rural communities. I think that there is obviously some chances here to fix that, make that better, but also find some commonality. We don't often have these connections between that type of, the kid growing up in that city and the kid growing up in a city like Rapids here. Finding those connections there hopefully creates a little more empathy and a little more understanding of, hey, we're all in this together. We're all trying to do the same thing for our kids. We're all trying to make sure that this next generation and the generation after that is that much smarter, that much better than us, and going to be able to do that much better of a job than we are. That's the job of adults.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a conversation I had with one of the organizations that has showed up at every one of the Joint Finance Committee public hearings, who are comprised of students both in K-12 as well as higher education, who represent minority populations. And they came into my office this week and asked, well, what have you done to help folks from the inner cities? I said, first and foremost, you know, making sure that we're providing pathways and opportunities for all Wisconsinites, and making sure that you have educational opportunities to ensure that your success isn't defined by the zip code that you grow up in. And, you know, doing what we can to help individuals get a leg up and try and break cycles of poverty and, you know, introduce them to, you know, what's out there, whether it's our great UW system, whether it's our great tech colleges like Midstate or the trades that we have. I mean, last month I had the chance to go and spend a day on the job at the operator engineers facility down in Coloma. I mean, that is the whole point, and everything I have tried to drive home for the past 7 years is that we've got a lot of opportunity out there, and we need to do a better job of providing information and creating pathways for students to find what their aptitude is, and then really put them on a pathway for future success and to have a real successful career.
Talking to listeners and to get question ideas and things and just get feedback from the community. What do you guys want to ask Senator Tess? Not about what I want to ask you. What do they want? And it came up kind of organically, but the approach that we take to the budget, I should say the approach our politicians take to the budget. Do you and your colleagues, do you look at the budget as a pie? And, well, if we take from this, we have to add to here or vice versa, you know, that kind of thing. Or is it more about the budget is just kind of this, it has no real ceiling. Like, certainly we don't want to just spend, but it's not about so much as a ceiling as it is just being smart about finances.
Well, I think it's kind of a mix of both. I mean, we have to walk a very fine line and ensure that we craft a responsible budget that doesn't put future legislatures in a tough position. And so, you know, right now, you know, as we begin the process, we'll likely in early May take up some smaller agencies that don't have a huge impact on the overall state budget. And then come May 15th is when we should have new revenue numbers. And that should give us a pretty good indication as far as where we feel comfortable both at the state and then taking a look at the national forecast as far as, you know, where we're at financially and what's the health of the economy right now. Because if we were to start squeezing on the balloon right now, you're right. You know, that pie is only so big, you're going to start taking away from different areas. And what's more important is that we're going to start off of the base budget. Now, the governor introduced his budget, you know, back in February. And, you know, what concerns me and a number of my colleagues is that if we were to rubber stamp the governor's budget as is today, just in the first year of the biennium, if approved, just to get to a net balance of zero, we would have to see an increase in revenues of 6.6%. In year two of the governor's proposed budget, you would have to see an increase in revenues to get to a net balance of zero to over 12%. And historic trends, based on Fiscal Bureau's analysis over the last decade, our revenue growth has been anywhere between, you know, 3 to 4% over the last decade. So we just want to make sure that we build upon our current base budget and continue to make investments where it matters most, whether it's in K-12 education, whether it's within our healthcare system, trying to help our hospitals like Aspirus Riverview, who are dealing with low Medicaid reimbursements, to hopefully provide them some relief, making sure that our transportation continues to be a priority and emphasis, especially in outstate and rural areas of the state.
How close are the two sides when it comes to that budget that Governor Evers has proposed?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen. I mean, we're still at the starting block right now, but, you know, obviously the governor has a budget that wants to spend, you know, $106 billion, which is a 17% increase over the budget that we passed last go around. And so, you know, you hear a lot of conversations about the $7 billion surplus that we have here in the state. And while we do, in fact, have a $7 billion surplus, I think it's important for us to note that that $7 billion surplus, about half of that is attributed to the nearly $57 billion the state of Wisconsin received from the federal government throughout the course and start of the pandemic. And then when you factor in inflation, that takes out another big chunk of that $7 billion surplus. And if we want to continue some of the programs, the cost to continue in areas like our Medicaid budget, that's a $500 million hit. The Child Care Accounts Program, a $340 million hit. If we want to continue the pay progression for Department of Corrections workers, that's another $400 million hit. So really, realistically, when you take those one-time dollars out, inflation out, the federal money of actual new revenue that we feel we can safely invest without overextending ourselves is about $2.4 billion. And so we're trying to manage expectations as best that we can, because the last thing that we want to do is pass a budget that puts us into a $3 billion deficit going into fiscal year 27.
Speaking with State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and sir, you recently joined the Joint Finance Committee. Wanted to talk about that a little bit. Before we get too deep into it, though, let's explain to people what the Joint Finance Committee is.
So the Joint Finance Committee, it's been in existence for about 115 years now, and it is the most powerful legislative committee in the entire country. It's a joint committee where you've got members of both the Assembly and the Senate who are responsible for all things finances and appropriations here in the state. So, you know, anything that has a dollar sign on it, it runs itself right through the Joint Finance Committee. We also were responsible for crafting the two-year state budget. We're responsible for dealing with settlements, dealing with state dollars and cases and how those are allocated. We have oversight and review of a number of different projects and things that occur. So it's a very, very powerful committee. It's a big responsibility, and really thankful to have a seat at the table, because this is where all the big decisions are made. And what's really unique is the fact that how well positioned Central Wisconsin is based on just the breakdown of who serves on the Joint Finance Committee. I mean, Adams County has three individuals who represent portions of Adams County on the Joint Finance Committee. Myself, Senator Joan Ballwig, Representative Alex Dahlman, and then right next door, you know, you've got Representative Tony Kurtz, who represents Juneau County, and Co-Chair Howard Markline. So Central Wisconsin, and more importantly, rural Wisconsin, is very well represented on the Finance Committee, which in years past that wasn't the case, because it was always folks from Southeast Wisconsin or Madison and Milwaukee, and now we've got a far greater footprint, which I think is going to help advocate for some of the issues our rural areas of the state are facing.
I think we've touched on some of that, but what are some of those issues, and what are you and the committee doing about them?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we talked about education, how some of our rural districts are really struggling right now, and while they've been very financially prudent, you know, they need assistance. You know, we're going to be taking the lead point on the transportation budget, and so making sure that our not only our local roads, but more importantly, our agricultural heavy used roads get their opportunity to get repaired. And again, things like we've talked about over and over again, whether it's continued broadband expansion, making sure that we're providing more connectivity for individuals throughout the state. And then a big one for me, and will continue to be a big one for me, is making sure that our underserved areas and rural parts of the state, as it relates to healthcare, making sure that we provide more, get more providers in these areas, that we continue to support our long-term care facilities, and hopefully make significant advancements in the programs that educate our future workers within the healthcare system, our nurses, our CNAs, doctors, dentists. So my hope is that there's going to be a lot of conversations on how we can continue to advocate for outstate and do what we can to get providers in there and provide for these populations.
That's all? No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. I just had to lighten the moment for a second. I would like to ask, though, along with those things, is childcare one of the things that you guys are focusing on?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a big priority. And the reason I say that is, you know, every region of the state, they'll have their own version of their own lobby day where they'll come down. You know, for instance, Synergy and Central Wisconsin Days were just down last month. We had folks from Door and Kewaunee County just down in my office yesterday, or 2 days ago, in fact. And child care in every single one of these groups has been number one or number two on their issue areas. And so, you know, what that looks like remains to be seen. Because like I said, we're still in the early process, and I think we'll have a clearer picture once we have new revenue numbers and projections come May 15th. But I think, by and large, every single legislator down in Madison acknowledges that child care is a major issue and a huge barrier. In fact, last month when the Restaurant Association had their lobby day, I had a conversation with they're just outside the district, but they own three Culver's up in the Wausau area. Young couple, about my age, mid-30s, three kids. They spend $32,000 per year on child care. $32,000. That is a huge concern.
Yeah.
I don't know how people pay and afford for that. And so I do expect us to tackle that issue. What that looks like exactly remains to be seen, whether it's trying to create public-private partnerships or provide tax incentives or trying to help raise the wages for these child care workers. But something has to be done because this is a major hurdle and barrier for folks who want to get back into the workforce. Hard to get back to work if you can't afford child care and you got to stay home and watch your kids.
Well said. Recently, you met with Representatives Sarah Lemieux and George Stacey from the Ho-Chunk Nation legislator. You guys talked about a number of different things. Can you tell us a little bit about that conversation?
Yeah, well, I've always had a good working relationship with the Ho-Chunk Nation, and you know, it was great to get an update from the things that they're working on, and get an update on where kind of things stand with the Ho-Chunk and some of the issues that they're facing, which, as you're probably well aware, are some of the very same issues that we're discussing right now, child care and health care access and things like mental health. What was really neat is towards the tail end of our conversation, they had mentioned that they recently bought a property, a house just east of Stevens Point that has a healing rock on it, which I haven't got a chance to go out there and take a look at it, but apparently this rock sometimes has water that bubbles up from it, and apparently the previous owners had told stories that they would sometimes hear things at night and see things at night, and so
I got to check that out
really
too.
Conversation.
That's great.
And the other thing that we've been working with the Ho-Chunk on for a number of years, and I'm hoping we can get something set up soon, is for me to do an on the job with them. And as a token of good faith, I've made the offer that if they want any historical artwork or artifact displayed in my office, that I'd be more than happy to do that. So when their members come down and meet, they can know that they've got a friend and partner in my office.
That's great to hear. You also recently met with the Carpenters Union last week. How did that go? What were some of the things you discussed with them?
Yeah. We had the Carpenters Union down. I think this was last month. It's hard to keep track of the meetings and days. But it was a really good conversation. And, you know, they're dealing with the same issues that folks on who are non-union shops are dealing with, and that's a huge demand for labor. And, we talked about what can be done to, again, expand the trades, youth apprenticeship programs. And, you know, I think that's one of those key areas where we have that commonality and that common ground is, again, acknowledging the fact that we have a huge demographic problem. What's called the silver tsunami, our population that's getting older is going to exponentially increase significantly over the next several years. And so we've got to do what we can to grow our own workforce and make sure that we retain that workforce here in the state and primarily, hopefully, here in central Wisconsin. And so based on our conversations, I think we're all in agreement that anything that we can do to help expand our youth apprenticeship programs and get kids interested and involved in the trades is going to go a long way to ensure that careers like this remain viable and in supply here in the state.
Recently, also had some good conversations, it looks like, with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. We're seeing some really good feedback from them about some of the things that they are developing, the bipartisan support that they are having with this. That's certainly noteworthy and needed for our farm and our ag industry. We all understand that how important that is here in Wisconsin. But another kind of like story inside the story there is the bipartisanism. The last two elections we've had in this state, it feels for me and for many of our listeners that the state itself is deciding to be more and more purple. And it's not so much that we're Democrat-Republican as it is the divisive Democrat or Republican. We're X-ing out of our politics here in this state a little bit more and more. And it's becoming a little bit more and more about the issues, it seems. Now, does it seem that way to you and your colleagues? Is that at the water cooler, you guys talking about these kind of things? Because I got to imagine after the last two elections, that there's a lot of change going on. There's the community, the state is speaking. How are you guys listening?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. I mean, Wisconsin's a purple state. There's no question about that. I think with the exception of probably, the April Supreme Court election, we've had a number, probably a dozen or so statewide races going back the last several years that come down between 30,000 votes or less. And, you know, even in conversations that I've had, whether it's with Representative Shankland or some of my Democratic colleagues in the Senate, you know, I think we all kind of acknowledge that in Wisconsin, we're unique. And I even had a funny conversation with a national pollster not that long ago who came, and we were at an event together, and you know, talking about other states, and I asked him, like, you didn't mention Wisconsin. He just kind of chuckled. He's like, you guys are too hard to predict. I mean, you guys are like your weather. One day you're voting for conservatives, the next day you're voting for folks who are a little bit more liberal, and so. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what's unique about us is that, by and large, I think the vast majority of our voters here in the state of Wisconsin don't necessarily look at the letter behind someone's name. If they don't care if it's an R or a D, they vote on the person. And that's what matters most. And that's why, you know, for us, when we're up for reelection, you know, you see us out in the community. And not just every election year, but I try and be out in the community nonstop to keep my thumb on the pulse, to know what's going on, to know what's on people's minds, and use that to kind of inform how I approach, you know, my job and how I represent the 24th Senate District, and, you know, kind of gives me a good temperature on the mood of where things are at as we talk about issues like the state budget or we talk about individual bills. And so, you know, I think that's what's so unique about our state, I think that's one of the things that makes it great.
Another one of the ways you do that is you're on the job series. Love talking about this with you. Recently, you were at the Operating Engineers Training Site in Coloma. How did that go? Did you get your hands dirty? How did you have some fun? How'd it go?
Yeah, it was a blast. I always like when it's more hands-on, I can get my hands dirty. I mean, it was really cool because, you know, during this time of year, although things are picking back up as we see with not just the flowers are starting to come through the ground, but all those beautiful orange flowers that, you know, just dot our highways and our roads are popping up left and right. Mm-hmm. But during the downtime of the year, they use this facility to help train not just new workers, but to help reskill and upskill their existing workers. And, you know, it was really great talking to some of the students that were there taking classes. In fact, they even let me operate a backhoe, which was a ton of fun. And you have to be on a paver, and don't tell OSHA this, but they actually let me use a large crane, which it gave me a much better appreciation when you see people moving buckets or equipment mm-hmm. on a job site up and down and left to right, because they just had me dragging a chain a few inches off the ground through an obstacle course, and let's just say it's a good thing I'm not a crane operator, because look out.
Good to hear. And just before we let you go, sir, I always like to do a little homework and check your social media and different things like that. I noticed the other day you put a Holocaust Remembrance Day post out for on the 18th of this month for Holocaust Remembrance Day. I just have to say I appreciate that stuff. It may seem simple and small to some people, but representation matters, support matters, and we greatly appreciate that, my fellow tribe members and I. thank you for that. And appreciate the time, as always, the conversation.
Yeah, well, happy to. And as always, James, appreciate the conversation and look forward to having a chat with you next month.
Yeah, we'll talk then. You have a good weekend.
You as well.
State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. He'll be back with us next month again. Right now, we're going to get ready for the kids from LHS. Lincoln High School Drama Department going to be joining us to talk about the SpongeBob musical in just a few right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
To everyone who craves a handcrafted treat, let our team member Sephora tell you about a Culver's favorite.
We make our thick and creamy fresh frozen custard in small batches all throughout the day. And we mean all day, every day. From our supremely rich shakes and concrete mixers to our freshly scooped dishes and cones, we handcraft every bite to pure perfection.
Come to Culver's and get a taste of our fresh frozen custard.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 48, southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight, mixed precipitation possible at times, lows level off around 30. Mixed precipitation possible at times again tomorrow, highs level off around 42, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome everyone to Morning Magazine for this April 21st, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock and you have your host James behind the mic. I am joined right now by some of the kids from the Lincoln High School musical, the SpongeBob musical. It is going to be premiering Thursday, April 27th. We'll give you the dates, let you know how you can get tickets in just a moment, but let's meet the cast first. We have first up, playing the voice of Patrick, Danny Kaur. Danny?
Hi.
Hey Danny, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. We're going to talk a little bit more about you playing, I'm sorry, Patrick. You playing Patrick. We'll talk more about that in a moment. We also have Regan Van Wagner with us. She is SpongeBob in the cast.
Hello.
Hey. Regan, you already sound like SpongeBob a little bit. So I can see a little typecasting going on here, but that's all right. That's all right. We'll get into that a little bit more in just a minute. Diane Gabriel is with us as well. She's the lighting designer and tech. Diane, thank you for being here.
Hi, thanks for having us.
We have cast members join us often. We don't always get somebody from behind the scenes to join us. I really appreciate you being here today. I look forward to talking with you about that.
Yeah.
We have Ryan Stieber with us as well. He is Pitt. He's in the Pitt. He's playing saxophone again. Don't get to talk to the band very often. Thanks for being here, Ryder.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for being here, you guys. I want to get this out of the way. Journalistically, I have to let you know and the audience know I am an actor. I've been acting since I was 7. I've been a SAG member since 2008. I love acting. So we are going to have some fun today. We are going to talk about this. And let's dive right in first to the SpongeBob musical. What's the play about? I think that most people know the cartoon SpongeBob by now. SpongeBob and Patrick and his friends from down under the sea and all that. But what is the play about? It's a musical. Let's start there. It's a little bit different when it comes to that, right, Danny?
Yeah, so basically SpongeBob, he's going through Bikini Bottom, and all of a sudden Mount Humongous, this giant volcano not too far from Bikini Bottom, is going to erupt. And so basically the play is about how SpongeBob saves the town.
Nice. Very cool. Very nice synopsis, too, by the way. It would have taken me like 4 more minutes to explain. You just did it like that. Nicely done. It's a fun play. It's a family-friendly play, too, as well, which people love. And being able to not only support you guys and local theater, but being able to bring the whole family down is always a nice time, too. Now let's get into your roles in this. And we'll start with the actors, and because I'm an actor. No, we'll start with you guys first. And Regan, let's talk about SpongeBob. SpongeBob, of course, the big name in this one is for a lot of people. But I think one of the cool things about SpongeBob, especially in the TV show and in the musical, which I've read and I know, SpongeBob is such a supporting character. SpongeBob does such a good job of supporting the rest of the cast and bringing the rest of the cast up to that lead role and everything. What was it about SpongeBob that made you want to play this part?
I really liked it. It is a little bit different from the actual show that everybody is familiar with, but I really like just how he always has a positive outlook and very bubbly character, and it came naturally to me because I already am a very outgoing person, so being able to like be more myself on stage was very, very nice and very enticing, so that's why I wanted this role.
Very cool. How about when it comes to Patrick, Danny? What was it about Patrick that made you want to play this part?
Patrick is just a really lovable character. He's got a quality for everybody to relate to, whether it's being tired or just kind of missing the punchline sometimes, which also a little bit of typecasting. I always miss the punchline. he's just such a fun character to kind of like dive into his mind and just like the kind of empty-headedness.
Mm-hmm. SpongeBob was always my daughter's favorite. Patrick was my daughter's favorite. Yeah, she loved Patrick. Diane, when it comes to lighting a show like this, now I mentioned to everybody, I teach acting too, and I mention this to my students all the time. If you really want to get good at acting, take on all the roles you can get, certainly, but work behind stage. The more you work behind stage, doing props, doing lighting, sound, any of these things, the better you're going to understand how to work on stage. As great as actors are, as wonderful as they are, as an actor, I like to, of course, mention how important we are. We are nothing without the people behind the stage. We are nothing without the lighting, without the sound, and all of this. You're new to this, I would imagine, being young and stuff. What made you want to do something like this behind the scenes?
Well, first of all, I have incredible stage fright, so I knew being on stage was not an option. So then Danny actually dragged me to join crew. And then it kind of just, they were looking for light people, so I volunteered, started doing it. And for lighting, I get to be really creative with like picking all these different colors, especially for this show. You really like anything's on the table for how it looks. So I really enjoy being able to touch into my creative side and just explore a whole bunch of different things.
I'm glad I normally would ask right after that, did you enjoy it? I can hear you did. You've been enjoying this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Especially this show. Very fun show.
Very cool. Very cool. Ryder, being in the pit, the music in a show, especially musical, and to be honest, I haven't done a ton of musicals, but I know musicals. I know how much it takes to have that chemistry, that timing. You have to be just as on point with the cast as the cast members do with their cues and everything. How has that been going for you and your fellow bandmates?
this show has actually been a little bit more difficult than like past musicals because there's a lot of talking while music is playing. So we have to hit certain cues in certain parts of measures, and it's a lot harder.
Have you been enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Because it really, as much as I take this stuff way too seriously and everything, it all doesn't mean anything if you guys aren't enjoying yourselves. That's where it all starts. Let's get into a little bit of your history. I want to get a little origin stories here. Danny, is this your first show? How much have you acted before?
This isn't my first show. I started in the theater department right off the bat freshman year. I was really just kind of nervous, so I started in the crew and kind of worked my way into the cast. I didn't get really into theater until high school. I had my occasional Christmas program, but my mom is the one who told me to join because she's like, I did this in high school. I think you'd really enjoy it. And just since the second I stepped foot in there, I've loved it ever since.
Very cool. Very cool. Regan, how about for yourself?
I have been doing theater since middle school because I'm originally from Colorado, and we came out here my freshman year, and I took theater classes because I already knew that's what I wanted to do. Like, by seventh grade, I was set. So I came and started doing theater classes, and Mrs. Danke, our director of the show, she was the one who actually pushed me to audition for the winter show of that year, which was Radium Girls, and I'm so glad I did. It was kind of the same thing as what Danny said, never turned back. That was where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Diane, have you done theater before? You mentioned that you kind of got pulled into this and everything. Did you ever even think about doing anything in theater or anything like that?
No, I never thought about doing any type of theater thing until junior year when Danny convinced me to join the show.
Can you see yourself doing things in the future like this?
Yeah, I actually am going to college for this.
Yeah, right on. Good on you. That's cool to hear. Very cool. Awesome. Ryder, you mentioned that other musicals before are different, so it sounds like you've had some other experience with this.
I've just done last year's musical, okay. Cinderella. But
that's cool.
That was a more simple, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Cinderella.
You can hear it in your voice. Yeah, yeah.
It was...
As long as I got you, though, because I played trumpet and cornet in school and everything, I'm a fan of the brass instruments. What was it about the saxophone that made you pick that up?
I actually originally play flute.
Nice.
And I double between flute and saxophone in the pit because we've got one book. And saxophone, I just started it because jazz is cool, and I wanted to start doing jazz band at the high school.
Ryder, you are my guy. I love jazz. Jazz is my favorite style of music, man. That is cool to hear.
Yeah.
And incredibly, I went from trumpet to cornet, which, spoiler alert, not that big of a difference, everybody. Flute to sax, very different. Very impressive, young man.
Saxophone is not as hard as many people think it is. It's the same fingerings as the flute, pretty much. So there wasn't much of a learning curve.
Very cool. We've got the cast from Lincoln High School's drama theater department talking about the Nickelodeon The SpongeBob musical. We're going to talk some more about the music when we come back, talk a little bit about theater itself, and just have some fun. We got more coming up for you on Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 48, southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows level off around 30. Mixed precipitation possible at times again tomorrow. Highs level off around 42. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone, here at WFHR on this 21st of April, 10:44 on the clock. Don't worry, your mics were not. Don't worry, guys. I just can't help doing that to people. I love coming back from break when you guys are talking and stuff. You got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Danny, Regan, and Diana, and Ryder from the Lincoln High School musical, the SpongeBob musical. We're talking about that with them right now. I want to get into a couple of things with you guys, but first, I want to talk about the music. This is a musical. Let's dive into it. For those that don't know, the SpongeBob musical features original songs from, take a deep breath, Yolanda Adams, Steven Tyler, and Joe Perry of Aerosmith, Sarah Byrles, Jonathan Colton, Alex Albert, of Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, The Flaming Lips, Lady A, Cyndi Lauper, John Legend, Panic at the Disco, The Plain White Tees, They Might Be Giants, T.I., and songs by David Bowie, Tom Kenny. It's an amazing group of songs and everything. Do any of you know who any of those people are? Okay. Yeah. I had to ask. I'm sorry. Right on. That's very cool. How much have, because these are all, every one of those artists I mentioned are incredible songwriters and very good at what they do. It's pretty cool to be able to do a musical. It's got to be a different level to be able to do music from songwriters like this. How has that been for you guys? Danny, I'll start with you.
It's been a really cool experience. It's almost a jukebox, musical, mm-hmm. but not quite, because it does have that like pop feel, but they are all original written songs by these incredible artists. And it's just been so fun, because when I listened to it for the first time, I was like, oh, okay, this sounds super cool, sounds pretty simple, it'll be a blast. And it has been a blast, but it's been a lot harder than you might think, because when you really look at the music and break it down, there are so many just like little things that can really like trip you up. So I'm very proud of our entire cast, because we're doing an awesome job with it.
Right on. Well said. Regan, how about for you? How has it been?
To piggyback off what Danny said, I really do agree with that, because this musical has, if you like all genres of music, there's something that you will like in it. There's just different things. Like she said, they are kind of on the poppier side, but there's little bits in each one that are slightly different, and that makes it all the more magical. I really enjoy learning it, because as it is a little bit more difficult, because it's written by these amazing people, it is such a like a great thing to learn it and like learn with your peers and grow with them. So yeah,
we know, Diana, maybe us as theater people understand this, but I don't know if the average person out there would understand how much lighting plays into sound, how much they are intertwined and everything. Have you enjoyed that, being able to, you know, work with the music, work with the sound and everything, especially with what you were mentioning before about getting to be a little creative with the lighting?
Yeah, that's actually my favorite part, is putting lights to music. Because you can do so many more things to affect, like, the mood of each song.
Yeah.
And also, like, during some more, like, energized songs. Like, we have this one, like, rock and roll song. Mm. So we just make the lights go crazy, which is super fun.
Yeah. All theater is a living thing. All plays are a living thing, and they're all difficult, and it takes all these moving pieces to work together in unison and have some harmony and all that to make a good show. But a musical is such a different animal. It's got so many different layers and levels to it. Taking everybody doing their job at the same time, having that chemistry and everything. It's nice to be able to talk to some people in the pit or behind the scenes to show that chemistry and how important that is. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you again for being here, you guys. It's one thing to be able to sing the lyrics of some of these things, but I got to think, as a musician, it feels just as good to be able to play the notes, to play the music of these artists.
Exactly. Like a few pieces, there's like a bass line that starts up, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I don't get to play it, but I get tingles.
Yeah.
But then, because it has rock elements, because like David Bowie, Aerosmith, mm-hmm. but it's mostly a pop pit.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird to play on classical instruments.
I imagine that is. And especially, I mean, most of us that were in band or anything, we understand most of the songs, Mary Had a Little Lamb or something like that, that we learned. To get to play like this kind of music, you don't get that chance very often. So I imagine that was one of the pulls to this, to do this too.
Exactly. There are like so many levels compared to normal concert music to get like the different sounds for like pop and rock. And it's just, it's fascinating.
Yeah. You guys have done this a little bit, and I am going somewhere with this question, so hang with me on this. I want to get back to the history you've had. You guys have shared the acting history or history with entertainment a little bit. I want to get into why you do this and encouraging others to do it. Mm-hmm. I personally think that it doesn't matter. I tell my students this all the time. It's not a matter of if you ever act again or ever do anything in entertainment again. So much the point of entertainment or sports or any after-school activity is building you guys up, is getting you confidence and feeling good about the world that you're going to walk into and be doing what I do and other people do and everything. Is that something that you found through doing this? Have you gained some confidence? Have you felt more like you found more of your own voice through this? Danny, start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my freshman year was actually my first year in the public school system. So I was terrified. Like, I'm pretty sure I got run over at lunch the very first day at school. And just throughout the last 4 years in the theater department, I've been able to, even if I don't truly feel confident, I've been able to learn how to fake it. And that has definitely helped me just get through my everyday life. Mm-hmm. And with schoolwork, scholarships, college applications, I've been able to apply all these different aspects of theater to every part of my life.
I appreciate you sharing that, Danny. Thank you. Regan, I'm a transplant. I had 10 different addresses before I was 10. I moved around all over the place. I know what it's like to move to a new city, a new town, to get going and started and everything. I don't have the charisma you have, so I don't know if it's easier for you or not or anything, but how has theater helped you with the move, the transition, all of that?
Yeah, no, I knew we actually chose the school that I'm going to because of the like PAC and the resources we had. That was like our deciding factor. So that was really awesome because we had a couple options. But yeah, I'm so glad that we landed here. And theater has become a home. And I really, the way that it feels for me is such an emotional and it's a deep connection. And the reason I do it is because it is, one, beneficial to me because I love it. But two, it's able to bring out that emotion and that like feel into other people's lives. And my, like, I always say this, but my definition of for theater and like the way of it to go perfectly is not if it's like exactly the cue that you wanted it, but if you can make somebody feel something, and that's, you've completed your job. So yeah,
I've had 101 roles, and I've done thousands of performances and everything. I've never done a perfect show. I've never been a part of a perfect show, but I continue to chase that perfect show. I think it's one of the fun things about theater is this unattainable thing, but reaching for it and knowing that if I just did this or this or this, maybe it's that much better. And doing all of that makes it that much better for the audience.
In true honesty, perfect is boring.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Nicely said.
It just adds every single thing. If you change it, just add something special to the show. So yeah,
I appreciate that feedback, you guys. I'm very curious, Diana, because you're telling here with us before that you weren't really thinking about doing something like this, jumping into it. Now you're going to school for it, which I think is so cool. How has this helped you with confidence, with building, you know, finding your voice, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so similar to Reagan, I came to Lincoln my sophomore year during like the height of COVID times.
Oh wow.
So starting a new school, not knowing everybody, being there only some days a week, wearing masks, like I'm already a very shy person, so that just made it even more difficult to meet new people. And then I knew Elaine and Danny from outside theater, and Danny physically grabbed my arm one day, dragged me down to theater, and had me join. And then since then, like, I've grown more confident, and I've been able to open up to more people too, because theater, like, we're like our own family, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it has definitely helped me in many ways.
Thanks for sharing that, Danny. That's awesome. That's really cool. Ryder, how about you?
So, like, my freshman year, I was very quiet. I was very to myself. And then I took one theater class, and Danny was in there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up. I gained confidence. No matter what I did, I was just like, yeah, I did that.
Yes, yes.
So now I just have that attitude towards everything. I'm just like, I am sticking with this. This is what I want to do. I will act how I want to act. I will do what I want to do.
Yeah. I at a young age, I see Robin Williams on TV, and he changes my life. I realize right then and there, that's what I want to do. I was in a really dark place. I'm sad, all this. I see Robin, he makes me laugh. I didn't think anything in the world could make me laugh at that moment, but he did. And immediately, I'm like, that's what I want to do for people. I want to take them, if they need a break from reality, I want to give them to it. If they want to think, I want to make them think. If they want to laugh, I want to make them laugh. All those things. I spent the majority of my life trying to be the greatest actor in the world. Not as a competitive thing or anything like that, because I think that one of the cool things about acting is there's no real like way to prove who's the best, who's the worst, any of that kind of stuff. So I just like the challenge of it. And it's kind of how I was raised, to be great. I spent way, way too much time focusing on that and not enough on my fellow castmates, not enough on the work. And the more I started to do that, the more I started to loosen up and take the job list seriously and focus on my cast, focus on those things. Not only the more I enjoyed it, the better actor I became. It's nice to see that you guys, doesn't sound like you guys need that lesson. Doesn't seem like you're going to have to wait until your 30s like I did to learn that and everything. Very smart on all of you. It's in the insight that you guys have for this too, I really value and appreciate. As we're wrapping up, unless you had something, Regan, I didn't want to interrupt.
No, you're good. I was just going to agree with you on that. I would say, like, especially this year, we have been so close with crew, cast, and pit. It was amazing to be able to be like you're friends with everybody. There's a friendly face anywhere you turn, and it makes it an even more family-like atmosphere.
Yeah, just to kind of go off of what Regan said, relying on your fellow castmates is so important. Our Sandy Cheeks, Elena Kowaleski, she is very musically talented, and I am not. I was like reading things, just it's so hard for me. So I've been relying on her a ton to just kind of help me with the music. And she brings the role of Sandy to life so perfectly.
Cool. Very cool. Let's talk as we're wrapping up about your favorite parts about the play. Let's go ahead and do a little tease to the audience here and everything. Ryan, you take it first? All right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So in the first act, there's it's the BFF song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then SpongeBob and Patrick, they break up.
Oh.
And then there's this, like, resolving song. Yeah. Well, it's not resolving. They're in two different places on separate sides of the stage, and they're singing to each other, and it's just...
Sounds awesome.
We shed tears in the
beginning.
It is wonderful.
That's cool. That's very cool.
I will say that makes sense. That particular song was written by John Legend. So
yeah, it's gonna do it. Yeah, though. All right, Daniel, sir, go to you next.
I really like the whole show. I was apprehensive going into this because I'm watching the actual cartoon. I never really got into it, but this musical has been just so fun. I think my favorite part of the show is probably the trio song that SpongeBob, Patrick, and Sandy share. It's just such a fun song to listen to. The set is super cool and just the lighting, and we get to do some fun tricks. So
Awesome. Yeah. Regan?
I auditioned with the SpongeBob solo, and that's like the only reason I wanted to be SpongeBob, because I loved that song so much. And I love all of the songs that I get to sing, but that one is just, I love belting, and it has some like belting points in it, and that is, oh, I loved it, and I practiced so hard. Danny was in the practice room with me practicing it, actually. Nice. But yeah, that one was my favorite, but I enjoy really every part of this musical.
Yeah. Diana, how about you?
My favorite part is any of the really high up dance numbers, because me and my lighting assistant, Abby, we are just like dancing in our seats up there and just enjoying watching everybody dance around.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I will say one other thing about this show that's so fun and unique from other musicals is that it's very heavy on audience participation. And so, like, we have the whole auditorium decorated, not just up on stage, but we've got stuff around the house, and it's really cool.
Awesome. So dang proud of you guys. Please do me a favor. Tell the rest of the cast, the pit, the backstage people, break a leg, have a fun run, enjoy yourselves. And we're all so darn proud of you guys. Thank you for entertaining us, for entertaining our community, for doing this. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun. Do me one favor here, and yourselves, trust me. The most important thing maybe we do today, say hi to your loved ones, say hi to your families. Danny, I'll start with you.
I'm pretty sure that my parents and my grandparents are listening, so hi, guys. And just a big thank you to all of our directors, pit directors, Mrs. Danke and Mr. Kromenacher, Ms. Stoffel, who's done all of the music. You guys are seriously holding us all together.
Nice. Regan?
Yeah, I'm not sure if my mom and dad are listening, but you will hear it eventually. I'll make you listen to it. Hi, Mom and Dad. Thank you for supporting me through everything. And again, to reiterate what Danny said, thank you to all of our directors and everyone really who is involved, because nobody goes unnoticed. Mm-hmm. And it is very important to acknowledge everyone here.
Mm-hmm. Diana?
Hi, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. And then my brother, because I'm going to make you listen to this later. And then thank you to Danke Kromenacher, Britt, the pit directors, and everybody.